The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, so still at San Diego Comic-Con, or I guess, sorry, I keep saying that, but it's Comic-Con International San Diego. I've been told several times now. here with Dennis Culver, the writer of Burnouts, which I lovingly described to one of my friends as a stoner book. So tell us a little bit about Burnouts, man.
Cool. It's basically the worst kids in high school that your parents told you to never hang out with. They're the only ones that can see a secret alien invasion that's happening, but the only way that they can see the aliens is if they're high, if they're completely wasted. And our story basically pivots on a nerd kid sneaking out, going to a party, trying weed for the first time, and he sees an alien and thinks he's going crazy. And from there, he gets pulled into the world of the Burnouts. So we've got that contrast of like the nerd kid and the stoner kids trying to figure out what the heck is going on.
So I've only ever had one good stoner idea in my life. I'm going to get a black metal version of Ganesha tattooed to my body. Thought of that when I was super, super stoned. My question is, were you ridiculously high when you thought of this one?
Weirdly, no. I definitely partake, but I'm kind of a lightweight when it comes to weed. I'm more like the main character, Andy. I was always friends with like the burnout kids, the stoner kids at school, but I was definitely more of a nerdy kid. And as a writer, I kind of like the idea of an unseen enemy, fighting that thing you can't see or that not everybody can see or it's just out of the corner of your eye. And putting those two ideas together, like my experiences with those kinds of kids and this, it seemed like it almost wrote itself, you know. And when I was pitching the artist Jeffo on coming onto the book, I described it to him as They Live meets Freaks and Geeks, which is, you know, this marriage of these two ideas, I think, works really well when you do that.
So when you're looking at kind of like the overall scope of America's attitude towards marijuana now, do you think this book would have been possible kind of before this day and age?
I mean, it was still difficult getting off the ground now. Like, I had actually pitched it to a number of places, and while they liked the concept, they were still like, oh, we're not sure if we want to do something with this kind of drug humor in it. And then finally, when I pitched it to Eric at Image, he loved it and he said, go for it. So I feel like we're kind of riding that line. Was this book been possible 10 years ago? Only if I would have self-published, you know?
When you're looking at putting out, you know, this kind of book that has these kind of themes, what, you know, aside from the people that you shopped it around to, like, did you have, you know, friends or like family that were like, oh no, don't put your name on that?
No. I mean, everybody that I told the idea to, they were like, this is great. You know, like I think we're at a place where, you know, it's accepted. I mean, I live in LA. There's a dispensary on every corner at this point. Like, it's not as big a deal as it once was. And also, I mean, kids are already doing this stuff, you know? Like, I think people might worry that I'm glorifying kids using drugs for positive results. It's something that's already happening. And you know, we make sure it's a mature reader book. It's dark humor. We put that right on the front.
So, the aliens. What is it about the aliens that makes them visible when the kids are intoxicated, or is that something that you even deal with?
We don't get into it, but it's part of the mystery. You know, it's that kind of sliding your mind into an altered state where you're seeing things that you normally can't see. So it's kind of leaning into that idea.
when you're approaching like writing a book like this, you know, was there a moment when you thought to yourself, oh, I should maybe take this seriously? Or from the go, were you like, definitely, this has got to be kind of a dark humor sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, the nature of it, like them having to get high in order to fight the aliens, it just leads to, you know, they're not going to be as coordinated. They're not going to be, they're not going to be very good at doing the thing that they have to do. So I don't think there's a way into it that it doesn't have a comedic, twist to it. So it's definitely, I wouldn't call it a stoner book, but I would call it, you know, like dark humor is the best thing that I've come up with it. Like, It's like taking this idea and following the logical progression of how they would have to do things, and then that's complicated by they're super high too. So
I had like this mental image of a stoner gunfight. And just your complete inability to function correctly. You know, when you're writing this and you know, talking with the artist and, you know, getting the pages back and forth, what were some of the things that you really enjoyed about the art that you were seeing, like, right off of the bat?
Jeffo, we worked together on a Marvel project previously to this. He was a layout artist on Marvel Infinite things. And he hadn't got a chance to really kind of stretch his wings in comics, as far as being a lead artist. And when he started just even turning in the character designs to me, like, that's really when they kind of came to life in my head. And it was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see it. You know, he took my ideas and he like extrapolated from them and gave them each a distinct look and a distinct silhouette, you know, that it makes them feel like a gang, you know, like it makes them feel like, oh, these are a group of friends. Like it makes them feel iconic. And Jeffo does a great work.
When you're talking about the dynamic between you and Jeffo going forward, what are some other ideas, like, or do you have other ideas that you would want to work with him on?
Well, right now we're focused on Burnouts. That's going to be a few arcs before we get to the end of that. You know, and it grows as we go, you know, so we're still finding that, but I would love to keep working with him on other things. But right now we're really focused on Burnouts.
That's awesome. Like, so when you're, you know, plotting out the book, I know a lot of, writers tend to have like end points in mind, you know, whether that be like 3-story arcs or 5-story arcs, like, you know, kind of how broad, how long of a story are you thinking about?
It moves around. I did a fair amount of development with this where I did a hard outline on the first 5 issues and then more outlines on the arcs that would follow after that. And that kind of, as you get into writing the book, new avenues are suggested to you. The characters kind of, you know, they start taking a life of their own. I could see it going on for several arcs though.
When you're looking at kind of like the ultimate extension of the universe, like into the you know, broadest scope of the story, you know, what it becomes the essential, like, conflict point between, like, the aliens and, like, this gang of kids?
Well, that's part of the mystery that they're kind of trying to figure out, because it's, keep in mind that they're the only ones that can see it and they have to be high. So to everyone else looking on the outside, it just looks like the Burnouts are running around and smashing up a lot of stuff and causing a lot and beating up people. Because, you know, they're possessed people, so it just looks like they're beating up people, smashing things up, and just generally causing trouble. And it's no one else can see what they see, so that alone is a conflict. You know, it's society's conflict versus these kids who are really doing something good for everyone. They just, no one knows it. And then the mystery is finding out what are these aliens up to? What's their purpose? What are they getting into? And that's kind of why they bring in Andy. Relieved to have someone like Andy, because Andy's this nerdy kid. He's smart. The Burnouts are really good at getting wasted. They're really good at smashing stuff, but they're not good with coming up with a plan or figuring out like what these things are up to. And so having Andy on board, they feel like, okay, now we've got a brain, you know, now we can, you know, have a strategy and things like that. And that, you know, then we see where that goes.
So when you're putting together like a gang of kids, how do you avoid like falling into, you know, the tropes? Like, this is the brainy one, this is the tough one, this is the cute one. Like,
it's more of a lot of it I'm drawing on my own past experience, you know, so it's less tropey. The one trope, and I don't even know if this is a trope, but you might have had this too. When you were a kid in high school, did you have the kid that had the full beard in high school?
And it was me.
Oh, it was you? Yeah. Okay. So we have a character in the book called Man Beard Manny. And he's the youngest Burnout, but he's got a full beard. And that's the one, like, I was just like, because it always astounded me, you know, there's this guy with a full beard, you know, like the one in my school, he looked like he was 40. And I was just like, how is this, you know, who is this guy? And so, like, he's a character in the book. And I just thought that would be, it's kind of a humorous take on that kind of idea from there. I think making him the youngest one is interesting, too.
It's funny because now it's my son, too. Oh, really? He's got like a mustache and a little goatee, and he's like 14. So, Yeah. When I wish my nickname would have been as great as Manbeard Manny, too. It was like, hey, Hairball or Furface or some. My kids at my school were cruel, but I'm not going to cry. When you're kind of like doing this story and like looking at the different kids, like, were there analogs for you? Like, this kid is, you know, this guy I went to school with, or do, is any of this based?
It's a little bit of that. It's a little bit of what the story suggested. It's kind of like you're finding, as you're exploring the story, you're kind of finding the characters you need, and then you kind of build them and you give them a personality and you see how they bounce against each other. Some of them are definitely drawing on my past, and some of them are drawing on the needs of the story and things like that. And then it's kind of making a stew and seeing where it all comes out.
Well, I, for one, am very excited for your book. I put it in my pool. When does it officially release its first issue?
It comes out in September. You can pre-order it right now from your comic shop. The final order cutoff is the end of August. So doing that now, sooner rather than later, is a good thing.
And what are your hopes, like, as far as reception goes? Like, what would be the best thing that you could hear from somebody besides, we sold out of them?
Oh, I mean, just to say I read it, you know, and I love it, like, and I wanted to keep reading it, you know, like, I mean, I think that's the ultimate, you know, making money is always a goal, but I think more than anything, you just want people to read your stuff, and you want people to like it, you know, like, so I'm hoping to, I feel like it's a good thing that people that have read it already are really into it, so I've got high hopes.
High hopes. I see what you did there. Well, Dennis, how can people find you on social media and like track down what you're working on?
I'm Dennis Culver on everything, all one word, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, all those things. So you can find me pretty much anywhere there. I'm the top Google result when you Google Dennis Culver. Nice. So, yeah.
I won that war.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dennis. I really appreciate your time. And man, I hope WrestleCon treats you well, dude.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.